You are listening to the Feast Podcast from the Light of Jesus family. We share here significant and heartfelt messages for you to reflect on and pray about. May this message help prepare you to face your challenges, follow your dreams, and open yourself up to God's unlimited blessings.
Everybody happy here? Raise your hand if you're happy. So good to see you guys. My message for you today, Dido said it already, I'll say it again, work on yourself first. Everybody say that, work on yourself first. This is so crucial, and we're ending our series on magnetic, how to attract the right person into our lives. All the single people in the house, raise your hand. Thank you. Lift it up, raise up your hand again, and then wave at God. That's right. Tell Him, don't forget me. Okay. The funny thing about relationships is when relationships, you know, go through difficulty and struggles, we tend to blame the other person and say, it's your fault, you know, there's something wrong with you. The prayer of a wife. Have you read that? The prayer of a wife. Lord, thank you for giving me patience so I can be patient with my husband. Lord, thank you for compassion so I can be compassionate towards my husband. And then the third line. Lord, thank you that you did not give me strength or I would have beaten my husband to death. To balance things off, I was reading this story, and it's an old story, and I've used this already, but I still get you know, have so much fun. You know, there's this guy, and he was a good guy, and he was a kind guy, and God appeared to him, and God said to this man, because you're so good, and because you're so kind, ask me anything, any miracle. And so the guy said, oh, nothing, Lord. I don't need anything anymore. And God said, oh, just think of anything out of the box. And so he said, okay. Lord, I live in Antipolo. I work in Makati. And so, Lord, it takes so long, 3 hours from Antipolo to Makati, and then in the evening from Makati back to Antipolo, it's another 3 hours. Lord, can you build me a skyway from Antipolo to Makati? And God said, you know, son, medyo mahirap eh. The skyway is okay. It's the pillars beneath the skyway, 1,098 to be exact. And it's congested underneath and too many houses and too many roads, narrow roads. Son, can you think of something else to ask me? And so the man said, okay, Lord, I love my wife. But many times, it's so difficult to understand her. Lord, can you help me understand my wife? And there was silence in the heavens. And then God answered, son, do you want 2 lanes or 4 lanes in the skyway? But that's the thing. The thing is, whenever there's a struggle in the relationship, we like blaming the other person. And we say, I don't understand you. There's something wrong with you. But here's my premise for today. Everybody say, I'm listening. That many times there's something wrong with us. And we need to examine that. And that's why I see this often among single people. You know, they break up with a relationship. And then they rebound. Am I saying something familiar? They rebound only to find themselves in the same situation, but with a different person. So before you rebound, before you go into another relationship, and if there's that person beside you who you know I'm talking about, hold that person's hand and say, makinig ka. Before you go into another relationship, please work on yourself first. Tell somebody beside you, work on yourself first. We had a full tank live about 2 weeks ago, and I shared these three laws of romantic attraction already, and it just blessed a lot of people. I want to share them to you today. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. The three laws of romantic attraction. Number one. I'll explain it to you by a story. May I? There was this young lady, beautiful, had two suitors. The first suitor was an all-around nice guy. Good kid, really good kid, from a good family, supervisor in a bank, responsible, faithful, nice guy. He was what you call the typical answered prayer of any mother praying for her daughter. You know, mothers with daughters, raise your hand. Be honest with me. You pray for that every day. Lord, may my daughter have a good guy, a good husband, you know. Hey, I want you to know this. Parents, I pray for my boys, my children, every day for their spouses. They're still young. Goodness, my youngest son is 12. But I'm already praying for his wife. And you know, something happened. When I turned 50, my prayers began to add up. This is what happens. When I pray for my children, Lord, please give my son the best wife possible. And Lord, thank you that you're blessing him with a good, wonderful wife. And thank you for my grandkids. And Lord, bless my grandkids and the wives and the husbands of my grandchildren, Lord. I'm praying really way in advance now. Every day. No joke. I just pray for the... You know why? Ask me why. You understand this. The second most important decision of your life. What's the first, by the way? The first most important decision of your life is whether you're going to follow God or not. Say amen. Amen. The second most important decision you're going to make in your life is the choice of your spouse. Say hallelujah. And so you need to make that choice very careful. That's why parents pray for... So anyway, let me go back to the story. Beautiful woman, courted by this nice guy, really nice guy, supervisor in a bank, you know, career flourishing, but really honest and faithful, responsible. She had another suitor. This other suitor is a bum, jobless, alcoholic, out of control temper. Do you know who she chose? Two suitors courting her at the same time. Do you know who she chose? For crying out loud, I want you to know, be shocked by this, because she chose suitor number two. The friends went ballistic. The family wanted to put her in a straitjacket, bring her to the mental hospital. Magpatingin ka. There's something wrong with your brain. But you know what? I want you to know, I've been in ministry for 37 years. 37 years. I've talked to thousands of people in so many countries. I'm telling you, this is not an isolated... No, it's not. I've seen it happen again and again and again. Why does it happen? Ask me why. Louder.
Why?
Because of law number one. The first law of romantic attraction. You do not attract who you deserve. You attract who you think you deserve. Everybody say, malalim yun, ha? I've shared this before, and I want to share it again. Guys, listen to me. Please think about this. You do... Picture. Importante yan eh. And then itag mo yung... Tell everybody, your office mates, you know. You do not attract who you deserve. You attract who you think you deserve. And that girl I told you about, who chose the bum, who chose the alcoholic that has out of control temper, not the good guy. I'll tell you why. Because she thinks subconsciously, this is the guy she deserves. She was a broken person. She was needy of love, and she saw herself in a very low way. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And it happens all over again. A broken person will you see, perception is reality. Say that with me. Meaning to say, if you perceive yourself as somebody who is broken, you will be looking for another broken person because you think that's who you deserve. By the way, these three laws of romantic attraction, they're kind of like intertwined. You do not know when the first law will end and the second law will begin, so they're all meshed together. This leads me to the second law of romantic attraction. It goes this way. You don't attract who you want. You attract who you are. I'll say that again and take pictures again. You do not attract who you want. You might say, oh, I want somebody nice and somebody faithful and somebody honest and somebody responds. But you don't attract that person. You attract who you are. A broken person will attract another broken person. A wounded person will attract another wounded person. As an emotionally healthy person will attract another emotionally healthy person. Are you listening to what I'm saying? A happy person will attract another happy person. And that's why, what should you do? Work on yourself first. Heal what needs to be healed. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you another story. Jack. No. I gave them names, nicknames. Jill and Joe. Jill and Joe, not their real names, but I kind of like, so it'll be easy for me. Jill and Joe, Jill who came up to me and she said, Brother Bo, should I continue my relationship with Joe? He wants me to get married, and I don't know. I've been in boyfriend, girlfriend together with him for some time now, but it's not been a good relationship. So I asked her, describe to me that relationship. And she said, well, he's the controlling type, and Joe is the guy who has conflicts all over the place. Conflicts in the family, conflicts in his office, conflicts in the gym, conflicts everywhere. You know of people like Joe? No? You're so lucky. You know, there are people like Joe. Wherever they go, they've got conflicts. And when you have somebody like that, I'll tell you why. The reason is this. Ask me why. Joe hates himself. Of course. The reason why you hate other people is because you hate yourself. Everybody are mirrors. What you see in the other person, what you hate about the other person, it's really a reflection of only what you hate with inside you. You got what I'm saying? Are you angry with anyone right now? Think hard. What you're angry about that person, the mistake that person, in some other way or form, you made that mistake as well in your past. And the reason why you hate that person is because you also hate yourself. In that same regard. And it's tough. I'm being hard on you here. But that's reality. Now listen to me. So I asked Jill. So Jill, you've been having a conflict with Joe as well? Yes, she said. Since day one, since we became boyfriend and girlfriend, we've been fighting. So I said, you can't get married with this guy. He's not going to change after the wedding day. If you've been fighting like this before the wedding, guess what? It's going to continue. And then she said, yes, it's because, you know, Joe really doesn't like himself. And that's why he doesn't like everyone else. I'm the only one who's so patient with him. Everyone avoids him. Everyone, you know, doesn't like to have anything to do with him. Me, I'm here. I'm just, you know, I'm the only person. And he really doesn't like himself. You know what I told Jill? Ask me what? Louder. Jill? You also don't like yourself. No. You said that Joe doesn't like himself, and that's why he has all these conflicts, right? You also don't like yourself.
And then we went through her life, and yeah, she's a broken person, you know, from a broken family, and she looked at herself in a terrible way. And Joe and Jill, though different, because Joe is loud and Jill is very quiet, but deep down, they're the same. They're the same. They don't like themselves. In fact, this is proven in law number three. Third law of romantic attractions. Everybody say, I'm ready? You don't attract how you want to be treated. You attract how you treat yourself. You see, this is what happened. This is very important. Everybody say, I'm listening. Jill says this to me. Joe treats me like garbage. Joe treats me like garbage. And yet, she's attracted to Joe. Do you know why? Ask me why. Because long before he treated her as garbage, she already was treating herself as garbage. Take a picture. This is so crucial. You, am I making sense to you? You better listen carefully, because this might shock you. This might really shock you. You want to be treated with respect, yes? You want to be treated with a lot of dignity, and you want somebody to really be the best husband and be good and kind. Guess what? That's what you say. But you know, when somebody treats you with respect and somebody treats you in the right way, listen carefully, you don't get attracted to him. Ask me why. Because it's so foreign. It's not familiar. But if somebody disrespects you and treats you like garbage, this is what happens. Guapo niya. Your heart palpitates. Reason? It sounds and feels like love, because that's how you treated yourself for so long a time. That's why you get attracted to frogs. That you want to turn into a prince. I don't care if you kiss him 1,000 times for 1,000 days. Only the kiss of Jesus can turn a frog into a prince, but not you. Not you. Not you. Oh, please. If somebody beside you needs to hear this, elbow that person until that rib cage bursts and tell that person, wake up. Wake up. I'll tell you something. If you do not do the inner work to heal yourself, your unhealed wounds will attract another wounded person. And that's why I'm telling you now, you've got to work on yourself first. If you don't heal your own wounds, you'll go into a relationship seeking for someone else to heal those wounds. And that's a terrible reason to go into a relationship. Say amen. You've got to, before entering into a relationship, heal yourself and work on yourself first. If we really make a decision, this is the problem. We get attracted to so many wrong people, and we don't know why we're attracted to them, and why we get attracted to frogs, and why we get attracted to bad people that treats us badly. And then that's because we did not do our inner work, and we're so flippant. Everybody say that word, flippant. We're so flippant when it comes to, you know, women, if you only choose your guy in the same careful fashion that you choose your shoes, there will be a lot more happier marriages in this world. My you see? One of the things that I really don't like is shopping. Really. It's I don't like shopping. But for the sake of love, for the past 19 years, I've been going with my wife whenever she wants to. I mean, she understands that I don't like shopping, so she really, many times she says, oh, just stay there in that coffee shop, I'll go. But there are times when she says, can you go with me? Okay. I will carry my cross. The funny thing I don't understand with women is that, you know, my wife would go to a shoe store. My wife will go to a shoe store and will pick and compare 7 pairs of shoes. Like, and then she will ask the sales lady, what do you think? Of course that's a sales lady. She will say, yes, it's nice, it's beautiful. She wants to make a sale. I tell that to my wife. My wife doesn't understand. She'll still go to the sales lady. Maganda ba? And the crazy thing is that she will go to me. What do I know about shoes? Love, what do you think? And I say, ganda, go. And she says, you just want to go home. Sometimes she will do this. She'll give me 2 pairs of shoes and say, which should I buy? You know what I tell her? Really, honestly, I tell her, buy both. And she said, oh, you just want to go home. And then she does the most unthinkable thing in the world. You know what she does after that? Ask me what. This is so unthinkable for a guy. You know what she does? She goes to another store. I said, this is a perfectly nice store. You have 7 pairs to choose from already. You pre-pick them. Why are you going there? Oh, because it's so nice here. And it's, oh gosh. Do you know how careful it is that women choose? They really discern. They really choose well when they pick a shoe, when they pick a dress, when they pick, you know, eyeglasses. My gosh, how many pair of eyeglasses do you put on until you finally pick the right one? But when it comes to the guy, when it comes to a suitor, when it comes to a boyfriend, ay, pwede na to. All evaluation and all gone, thrown through the window. I want you to work on yourself first. Ask yourself, why am I attracted to this guy? There was a study made. There was a study made. There was this children of alcoholics. If you have been surrounded by a woman, I'm sorry, by your father drinking every day. You find this has been a study. They've been trying to study this that. There was this one particular woman who confirmed the study. She said, this young woman, when she sees a guy and he smells of alcohol, she actually gets attracted to him because that was her world when she was growing up. But thanks be to God, she's conscious of it. And when you're conscious of it and you know, oh, I find him attractive, but that's because of my past. Excuse me. You are not worthy of me. There are better guys out there. You know, you kind of like say, yep, I know, I understand why I'm attracted to you because this is my old wiring working. But no, I deserve better. Can you tell somebody beside you, you deserve better? It's to single people, I'm sorry. See, if there's a single person beside you and they're... You don't say that to your wife or husband, right? You tell them, you've got the best. But really, honestly, single people, If you're unattached right now, work on yourself first. Work on yourself first and tell yourself that you deserve better, that you deserve the best. And what I'm going to do is, let's read this last line I wrote down. Unless you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you'll never have a healthy relationship with others. So what am I saying? I'm going to ask you this question. Ask me what? Are you your own best friend? See? No answer. Because for many people, they're not. They're not their own best friend. They don't treat themselves with kindness. But you have to, because unless you learn how to be kind to yourself, you will be attracted to all sorts of people who will not be kind to you, because you're not kind to yourself. So how can you be your own best friend? I'll give you six ways. How many? Here we go. Number one, forgive your faults. Tell somebody beside you, forgive your faults. I have met a lot of people, they've sinned and they've made mistakes 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and they still remember it, and they've not forgiven themselves. They know God has forgiven them, but they don't forgive themselves. When you do not forgive your faults, you are not your own best friend. You've got to forgive your own faults. Number two, fix your fences. Everybody say that. Meaning to say your boundaries. Question, how many of you have experienced very difficult people in your life? Raise your hand. Yay. People who put you down. People who criticize you left and right. They do not see any good in you. All they do is they try to replay all the mistakes of your life. And they really put you down. Guess what? Fix your fence. What should you do? Ask me what? Put some distance. Love yourself. Protect yourself from their meanness. Are you listening to me? This is so crucial. Brother Bo, what should I do? She's my mother. Well, you cannot avoid her totally, but this is what you do. You be able to slowly minimize your time with your mom, who is like this, just a very mean. If your mom is a mean person, put some distance. You can't avoid her totally, but you need to hang out with people who are more affirming and more positive. Love your mother from a certain distance. I know this is a painful thing, but you need to confront the issue. And if you're an adult, you can go to your mom actually and say, "Mom, I don't want to be treated in this way. I love you. I didn't want to hang out with you. But if you keep on putting me down, and every time I'm with you, I feel so bad. Mom, I don't want to be treated this way anymore. I want to have a great relationship with you. But if this is how you're going to treat me, you're not going to see me too often here." And sometimes you need to confront the issue and talk like that and say, "Mom, I love you. I really, really love you, and I want to be with you. But this has to change. The way you treat me." Number three, feel your feelings. Everybody say that. You've got to respect your own feelings, especially when you're sad or when you're angry, when you're worried. You need to feel those feelings before God and tell Him, "Lord, this is how I feel." Because when you affirm and feel your feelings, you're respecting who you are. A lot of people are in denial when they're having negative emotions. They deny them. Don't do that. Feel them. The thing is this. There are people who have emotion here, and then they've got expression here. Emotion and expression for many people are connected. I've shared this already with you before. You know, emotion, expression. Emotion, expression. It's like it's one seamless reality for them. I feel sad, I'll be depressed. I'm angry, and I'll express it and shout and scream. Everybody say, "What should I do?" Emotion, put a gap before expression. Everybody say, "Gap." And this will make your life so much better. Emotion, feel it before God. Admit, acknowledge. "I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm worried. Lord," emotion. Expression, put a gap. The gap is called evaluation. when you actually ask yourself, what's the right way to express my emotion? Tell somebody beside you, put a gap. That's how to love yourself. That's how to be your best friend. Number four, focus your fantasies. Everybody say that. Meaning to say, what do I mean by that? Your imagination. What do you imagine? What do you picture in your mind? Stop imagining your fears. Start imagining your dreams. Stop thinking about the bad stuff that's happening in your life. Friends, what will happen if somebody texts you about 8 times a day? You're cursed. Bad things will happen to you. 8 times a day, you get texted by this person. What will you do? What will you do? Block. You'll block the person. You'll remove the person from your life. Guess what? You, many times, text yourself bad stuff. Yes or no? We tell ourselves through our imagination, naku, malas talaga ako. Naku, walang pangit ang mangyayari sa buhay ko. You imagine. Focus your fantasies on your dreams, not on your fears. Do I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Always think about a beautiful future. Always think about how God's going to bless you in your future. Always think about the best, you know, because what you focus on will grow. Number five. Are you ready for number five? Follow your fun. Lighten up. The way to be your own best friend is don't take yourself too seriously. Tell somebody beside you, tumawa ka naman. I've said this before. Children laugh in one day on average. Ask me how many? 300 times on average every day. Adults, you laugh on average. This is shocking. 5 times a day. You want to be like little children? You've got to learn to laugh more often. Follow your fun. Laugh more often. That's why people like it here at the feast. We laugh so many times. It's so good to be here. Really. Brother Bo, my life is so sad. I cannot laugh. This is what you do. Go to the mirror. And then say, Lord, you really are humorous. You know, God created you in such a... Laugh at yourself. You know, and learn to follow your fun. Here's number six. Are you ready for number six? One of the best ways of loving yourself is to find your flow. What is flow? Ask me, what is flow? This term was made or crafted by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. They tried to pronounce that name. He wrote a book about flow. And he said, if you find your flow, you come alive. What is flow? When you use your core gift and you love it so much, you get lost and you get transferred in a different world. Have you felt that way sometimes? You're doing something. That's what happens to me when I write. Can you just imagine? I crafted this talk. I was in my zone. I was in my flow. Why? My gosh. I wanted to write 6 things that you can do to love yourself and be your best friend. I wanted everything to start with the letter F. And I did it. Forgive your faults. Fix your fences. Focus your fantasies. Follow your fun. I mean, every single one. You know, when I ended, I said, Galinko. What's your flow? Maybe your flow is when you're doing deals and you're doing business. You find your flow. Maybe it's painting. Maybe it's cooking. When you're cooking, you get lost in a different world and you are having so much fun. Maybe it's selling. Maybe it's being... I mean, I don't know what your flow is. You find it. Do it every day. Why? Because you love yourself. Because you really are your own best friend. You make that decision.
Tell somebody beside you, hanapin mo yung flow mo. And do it every day. Everybody, please stand. I want to speak to you, and I want you to make that decision right now. All the single people in the house, those who want to get married, who still want to get married, you could just raise up your hands. Let's close our eyes, everybody. But single people, just raise your hand. Can you raise both hands? Nobody's watching anyway. Everybody's eyes are closed. If you're a single person that still wants to get married, raise both hands. I want to be praying for you. Married people, you can put your arms or hands on the shoulders of those that are raising their hands. Let's pray for them. Single people, just say this: Lord Jesus, heal me. Make me whole. Heal my brokenness. Heal my wounds. So I can deserve and find the right person. In Jesus' name, I pray for every single person in this room. Thank you, Father, for the healing that's happening in their soul. Thank you, Father. You're fixing what needs to be fixed. In Jesus' name. Everybody in the house, lift up both hands. Let's pray together. I want you to start attracting the right people in your life. Friendships, business contacts. Everybody say, Father, I receive today your power in my life. Heal what needs to be healed. Forgive what needs to be forgiven. Fix what needs to be fixed. Bless what needs to be blessed. Fill what needs to be filled up. Do your work in my life. I give myself to you. I surrender myself to you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Light of Jesus family. For more messages like these, please visit lightfam.com/podcasts.